Mini episode 814 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome, everyone. The FDH Lounge mini episode number 814. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. As is customary, a lot of times after a big awards show like the Academy Awards or the Emmys or some other type of events, we're always glad to have a conversation with our good friend, pop culture and fitness expert, John Bastow. Also a motivational speaker. You can throw that in the hopper and probably two or three other things that I'm missing as well. But if you go to @JohnBastow on Twitter, you can find all the information there. And again, John's thoughts are obviously just brimming at a point in time like this, and I am looking forward to having a discussion with him about something that will go down probably forever, the 2017 Academy Awards. John, welcome back to the show, my man. We got a lot to unwrap after this one.
Hey, Mr. Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you?
I am glad to be back on FDH Lounge, one of my favorite shows.
Thank you very much. And I think it's safe to say we're probably both doing significantly better than a couple of the hapless accountants at Pricewaterhouse today, because heads are going to be rolling for that fiasco. And, of course, excrement runs downhill, as they say. So I would hate to be anybody who is in any position to get blamed for what happened. I'm not up on the absolute up-to-the-minute news, if they've decoded that a little bit more on the fiasco from last night on how that happened. I just know, generally speaking, that the wrong envelope was out there, and we saw a fiasco for the ages, my friend.
I'm sorry. Did something happen? Did I miss something? What exactly happened?
Yeah. I didn't mean to drop any spoilers on you.
I couldn't believe it. I was watching it as it was going on, and I was just like, oh, my God, Warren Beatty, just Steve Harvey'd the Oscars. But actually, that wasn't the case. It was, as you just pointed out, an accounting error in the sense that that somebody didn't read the wrong name. They were given the wrong card and the wrong information. So I'm sure heads will roll.
Well, the funny thing is, I had just seen Warren Beatty on TV the prior day in a very lighthearted moment, just in channel surfing and going by the Spirit Awards on IFC. My favorite comedian, Nick Kroll, and one of my other favorite comedians, John Mulaney, were co-hosting it, and they were doing their opening monologue, and they're looking through the crowd at some of the celebrities, and they're doing a thing like, oh, there's Annette Bening, oh, and there's your husband with you, oh, and you say, he's in the entertainment business too, oh, you know, so they're having like a lighthearted moment, and I'm reflecting back on that thinking, Warren Beatty, for all the momentous things that have happened in his career, would end up having one of the biggest days, not on the good side, the next day. But as you said, not really his fault. And again, I was breaking this down with a friend of mine earlier in terms of the video of it. He turns to Faye Dunaway, and it is totally unclear that he is committing to the moment. She's the one that blurts out who the winner is. He's looking at her like, what do we do? What do we do? And she sort of, you know, seizes the agency from him and runs with it.
Completely. You think it looked like a little bit of a bit gone wrong at one point, you know, because there's like a long pregnant pause and you're thinking like, well, one of them forgot what they're supposed to do in this bit. And then all of a sudden, you know, she blurts out the answer. And I'm like, well, what was the bit supposed to be? That wasn't actually funny. But I mean, that's what happens on live TV. You get caught in the moment, and you don't know what's going on. And then everybody else is basically making their own scenario about what's happening, and you only find out later, oh, Lord, look at that. But when you actually saw that it wasn't a bit, and you saw that when Jimmy Kimmel came on stage and was talking, you know, they were giving the Oscar to Moonlight and everything, I thought, oh, this is a bit about Steve Harvey. They're trying to make something really big. at the Oscars. And I'm like, and I said, this is sort of in poor taste. And then you realize it's real. Oh, Lord. It's just like, I was just, I was completely verklempt. And I just said, well, you know, Taraji P. Henson looked really, really good. So that's the upshot of the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. But this is something where, again, if this had happened on any stage, right, if this had been, you know, say local community awards at a theater or whatever, and the video went on YouTube, it would become viral. Like, this would be a big thing if it was that. If this were a lesser award, and I don't mean to diminish any of the awards, but lesser in terms of public acclaim, shall we say. If this was for, like, cinematography or best key grip or whatever, and they screwed it up, it would be huge. This is the main event. This is the thing at the end of the show. This is what everybody's been waiting for the whole time. I was going back to the movie Rat Race, which I really love. There's that sequence in there with Cuba Gooding Jr. where he plays the inept referee who botches the coin toss and gives the ball to the wrong team and scores in overtime. It would be as though that happened in the Super Bowl for something like this. It is just hard to overstate. You got to think it's almost 1,000,000 to 1 to have something like this happen with arguably the biggest award that's given away every year.
Oh, 100%. I mean, this is like winning the lottery for comedians, pretty much. Because anytime you have a moment like that, all the eyeballs are hyper-focused on you. Everyone is looking at every little detail with the ultra magnification on it. So you never think anything's going to go wrong, because even if the slightest thing goes wrong, somebody's going to comment. Everybody's going to have an opinion. This just like, if somebody just like shit the bed. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was. And it's one of these things where, here's something where I'll drop a little knowledge on you, John. Not necessarily useful knowledge, but funny knowledge here. But something from the great world of pro wrestling, which we talk about on this show from time to time. They call it the Dusty Finish. It goes back to the 1980s. Dusty Rhodes, when he was the number one good guy star in World Championship Wrestling, and he was also the booker. You know, like, he couldn't give himself the world title a lot of times. So what it would be is he would win the title, and then, like, later on it would be like, oh, but he was disqualified before it happened. And, like, he ran that finish so many different times and basically killed the territory. But it was like, oh, you think one guy won, and then you find out later on, the letdown of like, oh no, it didn't really happen. So there was a lot of Dusty Finish commentary online because people were recognizing that as something that they had seen before, John.
Well, I think I'm going to tell you one thing about this with everything. I think it's going to make Best Picture, the Best Picture winner, in this case, Moonlight, even more memorable. And I don't think that, you know, anything better could have happened for Moonlight, which is a movie that is like the little engine that could, in the sense of like being a very, very, a movie that was produced on a very modest budget and wasn't actually seen in mass like a lot of the other movies and, you know, just about all of the other movies were. But because of, number one, the fact that it actually won so many awards and won Best Picture at the Oscars, but especially because the eyeballs were all on it because of this fiasco and this, you know, craziness that made it even more hyperbolized in the media the day after. Nothing, there is no PR vehicle that could have been a better thing for that movie. Nothing, in my opinion.
Conversely, the real capper to what was a disappointing night for La La Land in that they came up short of some of the other awards, albeit not for Best Actress, Emma Stone, in something that I think was inevitable that she was going to win one of these at one point, gets her first one from that movie. But aside from that, a disappointing night even before the end. I think the end certainly would have salvaged it for them. You win the biggest one that you can, and that would have taken some of the sting out of it. But instead, you know, they get remembered for being on the wrong end of the finish, as it were, at the very end there. Not only did they win, did they not win, they were told that they won and had it taken from them literally on stage. So, you know, how much does that add to? Yeah.
it was taken from them after they accepted the award, and they're going through crying, tear-felt acceptance speeches. That was the worst of it. It's one thing if they first got up to the stage and somebody says, oh, hold on, we made a mistake. But you see everybody crying, the camera's panning, you have these heartfelt acceptance speeches, and they go, oh, sorry, we read that card wrong. mean, it's the ultimate slap in the face in that case. But, I mean, that movie also did extremely well in the whole award season. I mean, despite the fact that this is you know, something that is probably what everybody's going to remember for the foreseeable future for a while, you know, as the biggest thing with La La Land. I mean, Emma Stone still walked away with the Oscar. They still won massive critical acclaim in all the other award shows of the year. And La La Land is pretty much it's almost like Hollywood patting itself on the back for doing a good job, because La La Land is a movie, though set in the present of basically old Hollywood. It had a very old Hollywood feel. So that's why a lot of people thought it was going to take a lot of awards. And I think that's why it did take a lot of awards. It just so happened that the crowning glory ended up going to somebody else in a giant snafu.
Well, what just made it all the funnier to me also, too, was just months of seeing over a period of time. I'm guessing that if I'm to interpret it, because there's always a little bit of like a Sphinx type kind of a thing as far as trying to parse motivations. But Matt Drudge had been beating it up, you know, subtly for, I guess, pretentiousness. I think that's what he was getting at, mm-hmm. as far as the way that everyone was swooning over La La Land. So it's like, mm-hmm. he was just sort of setting it up all this period of time, hoping that something was going to happen, and then something that we never could have expected did happen.
Completely on that. And I mean, and that was definitely the one knock about La La Land, was that it was, I mean, in the sense of the industry, it's almost like, as I said, the industry giving itself a pat on the back because they're giving their biggest honors, you know, to a movie that's about them and about that and a complete, you know, focus on the Hollywood industry.
Right. And the way that they were just sort of like trying to do the ironic usurpation of people say La La Land dismissively, but, you know, like they then co-opt it as a title for a movie about the entertainment industry. So I think that might have played in also, too, the way that they were trying to usurp the way that people sometimes like to make fun of them.
Definitely. I mean, there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek going on. But as I said, there was no way that anything what we saw last night could have ever been predicted. And to actually see it going on in the moment was just like, it was a truly jaw-dropping moment. Like, what? You know, you were just totally shocked.
Yeah. And that's where, and again, I give a lot of credit to Warren Beatty for, you know, he was up there and he was smiling and whatever. But, I mean, he had every right to be up there looking angry because, again, you know, you're only as good as the material you get, as actors like to say. And that's the card that they were literally handed. And, again, how that came to pass, I'm sure heads are going to, you know, continue to roll on that one. But a capper to the night that we never could have seen coming. There were elements about the night that were a lot less surprising as well. It was expected coming in. I think obviously one of the bigger storylines and coming out of the Golden Globes. And given the, number one, the political slant of Hollywood, and number two, the tendency of our new president to take the bait on a lot of things here, that there would be a lot of back and forth. There was not back and forth being responded to. I guess it was only the back, not the fourth, because the president's Twitter was dark last night, unsurprisingly. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, very surprisingly, I guess we would say. But as far as a lot of the stuff that went on, I just kind of chalk a lot of that up to, again, more or less what you would expect. And I think that's one of the reasons that you haven't had a lot of the individual moments getting a lot of attention today. It seemed that a lot of it was more sort of couched in digs about being part of an industry that appreciates diversity. And, like, a lot of you know, some of the punches were pulled a little bit less. But all in all, there was nothing about that I found necessarily that surprising and therefore necessarily that newsworthy.
No, because I mean, with that ending, everything was eclipsed. I mean, other than that, I mean, the every other word out of everybody's mouth was the word diversity, and it was almost like a game to see how in your acceptance speech you can throw a little bit of shade using the word diversity without actually saying anything pointed. And everybody did it. And as I was watching it, because I was actually at an Oscars trivia event thing in New York City beforehand, and then, you know, raced home to see it. As I'm watching the speeches and also the bits and stuff like that, I mean, it was honestly like somebody walked, as people were walking in and they were given like their coat check, there was a little card everybody was given that says, somehow slip the word diversity into your speech. Let's see how many times we can put the word diversity into our speech. If it was a shot game, everyone would have, and the word was diversity, everybody would have been bombed out of their minds by the end of the evening.
Absolutely. And also things about, you know, inclusiveness, and, you know, there are other sort of subcategories off of that you could identify. If we'd done a word cloud from last night, there would have been a lot of things that sort of predominated like that. You're right. The diversity would have been at the top of the pyramid. And it was one of the things where, but there was almost less of it than I expected kind of coming in. And that's a thing, too, where I don't know if necessarily, again, the entertainment industry, God bless them, not always the most self-aware. So I don't know the extent to which they sort of figured out that they are, you know, a useful foil for President Trump, because, you know, to an extent anyways, at least with the man's base, this kind of stuff plays. So I don't know if there was a sense maybe of, you know, pulling punches a little bit more just to sort of deny him that. But if so, I guess that kind of worked, because evidently either there was nothing he found worth responding to, or B, Ivanka grabbed his phone and ran with it last night. And I'm not sure which of the two necessarily was the case. But is there any chance whatsoever that they just decided going in like, you know what, we're just sort of playing his game if we go with this stuff this heavily?
Well, I think he made sure that he had another event, set up, which was going to focus his attention on. And I think when they saw that, they knew that he wasn't going to be sitting at his Twitter and always taking the bait. And I think eventually you do have to get hit in the head, as you almost said, with what I call the self-awareness stick, and also the stick of reality, in the sense of, if you keep doing the same thing, basically, Hollywood did the same exact thing, the same exact commentary, the same exact joking, the same exact mocking throughout the primaries, throughout the election, throughout everything. In every case, as far as the country, a large portion, the majority, did not even pay attention to them as far as the Electoral College and everything else goes. And when I say the majority of the country, I'm talking about the majority of the area of the country, did not pay attention. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again and you never, you know, get the message, eventually you've got to wise up. Somehow the self-awareness, the truth stick has to hit you in the head and say, stupid, what you're doing is not working. Try something else. And I think that's why this was a little bit of a soft sell against him, except for a little bit of what Jimmy Kimmel had said, in one of his bits. But as far as the presenters, there weren't any long diatribes that you saw in speeches like you did in previous award shows.
Oh, you have little faith, John. I'm sure there are people out there that are going to say, Samantha Bee is going to single-handedly take down Trump's administration in her next pointed monologue. We're just one more of those away, John. I'm sure that's the case.
Exactly. And you see how well The Daily Show, The Nightly Show, and also Samantha Bee did as far as results go when it came to the primaries and when it came to the election. So you see exactly how much power they have. That's the one thing that's sort of like, a negative of going whole hog into something, because if you go whole hog against something and then that something still prevails, it sort of shines a light on your power level, if you know what I mean.
Right. And that's the whole thing, too, is that there's not even any sort of second where I'm noticing that any of these guys have really sort of paused to acknowledge, like, you know, I know I'm saying the same stuff this year that I did last year, and when I was saying it, when it could have made a difference, not enough of you, bothered to heed it at that time. They just keep plowing ahead as though, again, what we say now, you know, is going to make a difference, and it might at some point, but the scoreboard tells the story. It hasn't worked so far, If that was a big theme going into last night, I guess that's one that really kind of fizzled, because, like you said, Trump had another event going on. You had the whole thing with getting overshadowed by what happened at the end. I have to say also, too, and again, I never have as keen of an eye as you do for the stuff on the red carpet, but just in terms of the things that I was picking out, mm-hmm. there was really very little that I noticed that seemed like it was kind of a blasé kind of a deal, although I may be wrong on that. Emma Stone was getting a lot of praise for a. It seems like, and I'm not even being sarcastic when I say this, it seems like she can do no wrong. I actually legitimately kind of believe that myself. So, you know, she was dressed very classily, very beautiful. The one thing where I saw some people kind of farting on it a little bit was Scarlett Johansson, who normally does not get a lot of, you know, critical boos coming her way. That almost looked like kind of a moo-moo on her, not necessarily the kind of thing you'd expect her to be wearing. A little frumpy, I thought.
Yeah, she got a little bit of hate coming with the severe haircut, and then obviously the snuffleupagus type of dress. But as far as the red carpet goes, I mean, like I said in the beginning when I tried to allude to it, Taraji P. Henson, who I adore, can do no wrong in my eyes in so many ways. I fell in love with her. Only two movies I've ever cried during: Old Yeller, and when she was Brad Pitt's mom in Benjamin Button. And unfortunately, to spoil some things for your audience, she dies in the movie. But when she was like Brad Pitt's mom and had taken in this, like, you know, deformed little baby and stuff like that, and you saw that bond, and then when she dies, I fell in love with her at that point. And then when she became Cookie on Empire, that just furthered the bond right there. So I thought she killed on the red carpet. I thought that, you know, there were other ladies who made an impact. I noticed there were a bunch in gold. I don't necessarily think that who was it again? Dakota Johnson, you know, really slayed in gold. A woman who, you know, does movies where she's completely naked, and I think her character is really interesting, and I think the movies are interesting with 50 Shades of Grey and stuff like that, but then looked like she came on the red carpet like, I am going to cover up to my neck. And I'm going to wear everything, including this big doily, you know, so that people are all talking about it. But it looked like, you know, she was like an Oscar statue that had just been put in the microwave for too long.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, as far as it goes with her, you know, on the whole covering up kind of a thing, that's always going to be, I would think, a losing effect for her, because it's a thing where when you talk about, you know, whether it be in sports, second-generation athletes or whatever, you know, somebody like her, if you're trying to breed someone as attractive as she is, Dad Don Johnson, Mom Melanie Griffith, you know what I mean? You know, I'm not saying that was a laboratory project or anything, but it might as well have been. So, yeah, you know, that's, you would not expect somebody like her to be covering up what God gave her. So that's kind of a loser right there, I would think. And in terms of those two movies you alluded to, I guess that's sort of your equivalent of what was, for me, Game 7 of the NBA Finals last year, because that's the effect it had on me right there. I went through a couple boxes of tissues that night, so I can relate, John. Sometimes art and entertainment or sports will do that to you.
I love how on the FDH Lounge, you have such a talent, my friend, of taking the Oscar show and bringing it right back, and taking that car and bringing it right back around to sports. I love it.
We never get too far away, but
you just drive it right back into your lane. You go, well, right back into the sports lane right now. Here we go.
Well, it's going to be a long time for me that when I hear somebody talking about crying when they saw something, that I'm not going to think about my reaction on that night. So yeah, it's always going to come back around to that. We all have the things that move our souls, to be sure. And, you know, of course, many of the movies that were on display last night did just that for a lot of people. But again, you know, like I said, I thought kind of a red carpet that it didn't seem to have at least a lot of pop culture type moments. Nothing like we were laughing a couple of years ago on these award shows. Ashley Graham, I always go back to that, like the blood sausage with the tight thing she was wearing, the holes cut in, her being a plus size model. Yeah. I mean, that was sort of a cool jipe that was made about her, but funny nonetheless. Didn't really seem to be as much of that kind of stuff grabbing the old-fashioned police last night, John.
No, that and I think whatever was grabbing them was completely eclipsed by the actual award show, which rarely happens, because usually, my friend, I think most of the shade and also accolades get thrown on the red carpet. So, you know, it was very unusual that the show, for obvious reasons, ended up taking center stage instead of the actual appearance of the presenters and winners.
Yeah, it really did. It did, and you're right. That doesn't always happen here, but a lot of times we just don't get that kind of drama that would have happened. And, you know, to bring it all kind of full circle, doesn't it almost take an earthquake, kind of like what we saw at the end last night, for that to be the case, for it to go that much directly to center stage
the thing itself. I mean, even had La La Land just been upset by Moonlight, we've seen that in the past. We've seen that a million times. Like, oh, we thought that one was going to win. It didn't win. This other critical darling beat it. It wouldn't have been, like, necessarily yawn, but it certainly wouldn't have been a thing that gripped the country the way that this thing has.
No, no. The only thing that would have gripped the country more than that happening would have been if Emma Stone had gone up there to accept her award and her head spun around like The Exorcist while she was having explosive diarrhea. That's the only thing that could have possibly equipped that.
Yeah, I think so. For somebody that works as hard to stay out in the tabloids as she does, yeah, that would have been quite the moment.
That's the only thing that.
Well, let me ask you this, because again, you, like me, a real showbiz kind of a guy here. So in looking at it, what do you think the Academy is saying behind closed doors today? Is it a thing where there's no such thing as bad publicity? This is something that at least gripped people. I know that the initial ratings necessarily didn't really show a bump from last year. But then again, something that happened after midnight at the very end of it, how is that possibly going to affect the ratings?
Correct.
People didn't know it was coming. So,
right.
You know, are they looking at it like it could somehow, in a perverse way, kind of be a plus because they at least got a lot of attention for it? Or are they just more horrified at what it did to their image? Where do you sense that it kind of comes out?
I'm definitely in the camp that, you know, no publicity is bad publicity as long as it doesn't tie you in a bad way to children, animals, or the military. If you say anything bad about those three, it's very hard to recover from. However, I don't think anybody would have wanted this to happen because, I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, they a lot of times at these award shows, even though it's not the purpose of them, like you were just talking about, Hollywood's trying to make a statement. They're trying to use whatever power they think they have, and sometimes we're shown how much or how little that power actually is in people's real minds, but they're trying to use their power to show what they can do. And to have this happen leaves a lot of egg on their face. Even if it's an accounting error, even whatever is the reason, nobody's going to remember what the reason is or really care that much what the reason is, except for us who as we're going to analyze it as professionals. Everybody's just going to now say, well, you know, those people, they couldn't even get the winner of their biggest award of the year right. You know, and it's just going to be another reason as to, you know, basically give a decline in their credibility.
I'm just waiting for the moment here when some investigative journalist, like maybe David Korn from Mother Jones, uncovers something like, hey, this accountant from Price Waterhouse used to work at Goldman Sachs with Steve Bannon. I'm just waiting for some kind of bombshell that somebody's going to try and produce here. Wouldn't
very
that be something?
Clever. Yes, very clever. And that's the type of thing that would not come out right away. That's the type of thing that's going to come out 3-4 days in. That's going to come out when it's going to – oh, we found a tie to the Russians. The Russians hacked it. It's the Russians that printed out this thing like they printed out our ballots for our election or whatever. You know, and then all of a sudden it was somebody of Russian descent that handed the wrong card to Faye Dunaway and wrote Warren Beatty. So, you know, something along those ridiculous lines. But I think it was just a simple error, and it's an error that happened. But like you pointed out, it's something that was one in a million or even greater odds of ever happening, but it did happen. So, and you just move on from it. But I knew the day after, I mean, that's what everybody's going to talk about, no matter who won an award, who wore this, who wore that, whatever was normally talked about at the Oscars, obviously – nothing can eclipse this.
Well, yeah, and you know, one in a million, I mean, you know, the perfect storm doesn't even do it justice to say, because it happened on the stage, it happened on. Again, this isn't, you know, this wasn't on the undercard of the show, if you will. This wasn't on a much less famous show that may or may not have been televised. This happened in the main event of the Oscars. I mean, that's where it truly just gets to be surreal that something like this could have happened. And again, you know, I always enjoy doing these things with you, John, and I'll enjoy it the next time that we do, but we may never be doing another one of these ones that's as big of a pop culture moment as this one. This is truly a firestorm, and again, much like the rest of the world, we never saw it coming.
This is one you couldn't have predicted. This is not anything anybody would be betting the house on if somebody even said it, you know, beforehand of what could have happened or what could have been the biggest thing that happened. But it's probably a no-fault type of little, I wouldn't say happy little accident, but type of little comedic accident that people are going to be talking about for eons to come. But the one footnote is going to be there are going to be a greater percentage of people, I think, that remember that Moonlight won than if Moonlight had just won by itself. People are always forget about about what wins, what loses, and things like that as time goes on. But this is going to indelibly put it in people's minds a little bit more than if it hadn't have happened. So I think for that movie, there couldn't have been a better perfect storm.
I'm glad you pointed it out, because there's already been a lot of crocodile tears from those folks about, oh, it's a shame it happened in this way. It's a shame that La La Land was embarrassed. Trust me, they will happily shoulder the burden of La La Land being embarrassed by what it's going to do for them, because you're absolutely right. It cements them for all time. They would have been just, I mean, and again, it's not that when you win, you know, best picture, it's not that it necessarily, I mean, obviously that puts you on an elite list, but, you know, we've had now dozens of them over the decades. But how many of those award winners are the most remembered? And you're right about that. This puts them on another echelon nearly beyond winning
Correct.
The award. They're the ones that won the award in the goofiest way possible.
And they were the ones that sort of were vindicated in a sense. I think it's obviously worse to be the one that the award is actually taken out of your hand. I don't care what the reason is. If I had that award in my hand, I would have run off the stage. as they were trying, and that would have been a bigger story, because as they were trying to pry it from my death grip, I would have been running off the stage as they were like racing to tackle me, and I'm damn fast, so they probably wouldn't have caught me. But the thing is, the fact that, you know, it was taken out of somebody else's hand and handed to them, even if it was, you know, for legitimate reasons, whatever, it just puts you in the all good position. It's just all good. There's nothing bad about the position that Moonlight ended up being in, as far as I can see.
I can't think of a better closing image than that one, ultimately, John. If you had been in that position, you sprinting up the stage,
completely
screaming at them, catch me outside, catch me outside.
Catch.
That would have been outstanding.
Oh, my friend, I wouldn't have taken the split second to turn my head to say, catch me outside. Okay. It would have been game on. And there would have been no looking back. And they would have had to pry that Oscar from my dead hands, and I would have said every type of scenario we just went over in the show as to what happened or what possibly happened, and that result in that envelope was actually wrong, and that I was the deserved winner.
Well, I come back around to this. You're leaving me in mind of another pro wrestling scenario that's come up a couple times. When they utilize the crooked ref as part of the finish, they always have it where,
yeah,
you know, like dating back to the old Montreal Screwjob 20 years ago, after the ref makes the three count, whether it's a fast count or whatever, sprints back there, and there's always a car waiting for the referee in the back, and that's what I got an image of. I got an image of you jumping into a car in the garage right there. Actually, it may or may not even be your car. I just have an image of you jumping into a car and taking off with the award.
I would have hotwired the damn thing. There's so rare a chance that you have an Oscar in your hand. You know, as my dad would have said, if somebody made a mistake and gave you something, you don't correct them. So you just keep moving.
Yeah, yeah.
It was meant to be.
Well, like I say, John, I mean,
and that would have been stories for days. That would have even eclipsed. If somebody had done that, can you imagine if Emma Stone or any of those people, well, especially if it was Emma Stone, because she has such a sweet image in Hollywood, but can you imagine if Emma Stone just, as they were trying to take it from us, said, no, and then just ran off the stage, and then it took a while for them to hunt her down. That would have been the biggest, that would have even been bigger than this story, obviously.
Now I've got a mental image of her pie-facing somebody right off the stage as they're trying to take it from her.
And she didn't do it because she already had her own. She already had her own. It would have had to be, maybe Ryan Gosling could have done it because he didn't win one. So he could have done it and then gotten away with it because she already had one. She didn't need to risk that. But that would have been – I would have hired him for the next movie if I was a producer. That would have taken ball. No! You gave it to me! Goodbye. And then just don't argue. Don't sit there and argue. Just leave.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, it was an opportunity.
Possession is 9/10 of the law. Possession is 9/10 of the law. So that award is 9/10 yours if you are out the door with it.
That's true. That's true. And by the way, too, this just shows you how tight the circle is on all of this kind of stuff as far as ABC. Obviously, they're not in on it as far as who's winning the award either, because they just queued the thing up right there. La La Land is winning the awards from the Golden Globes. Like, they did their usual kind of a thing here. Like, ABC, you know, they didn't have an announcer, you know, scratching a, you know, needle across the record going, hey, wait a minute here. You know, they just went with it.
Yep. Well, it just goes to show you that's one award that I guess nobody does know ahead of time, and they probably have the potential winners all chironed up and stuff like that, so that they know when the exact name is called, you know what to put on screen. The only way that that whole extremely planned out process and extremely prepared for process can go wrong is if somebody puts in the wrong envelope, which is what happened. So there you go.
Yeah, and absolutely a mortal moment. And like I said, you know, I've had fun doing these before with you. I will subsequently, but sadly, never again are they probably going to give us this wealth of material for us to be able to chortle about endlessly, because, you know, this is like Halley's Comet, I think, as often as you get something like this. But I can safely say you and I made the most of it today, my friend, as I knew we would. a pleasure as always, and I look forward to queuing it up with you again, buddy.
You know, I adore you. I adore the show, man, and the listeners and all that stuff. So anytime you want me back, you just give me a holler.
I will definitely take you up on it. Thank you so much, John Bastow. And, again, everybody can check out everything he's got going on. Just check him out with his ever-present Twitter presence, at John Bastow on Twitter. Thank you, John, and thank you, everybody, for listening today to FDH Lounge mini-episode number 814.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.